will be our last week in the book of Ruth. We'll go on to Samuel in the coming weeks. So Ruth chapter 4, on page 224, please give your attention to the Word of God. Now Boaz had gone up to the gate and sat down there. And behold, the Redeemer, of whom Boaz had spoken, came by. So Boaz said, "Turn aside, friend, sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit down here." So they sat down. Then he said to the Redeemer, "Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, is selling the parcel of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. So I thought I would tell you of it, and say, buy it in the presence of those sitting here, and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not, then tell me, that I may know. For there is no one besides you to redeem it, and I come after you." And he said, "I will redeem it." Then Boaz said, "The day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you also acquire Ruth the Moabite, the widow of the dead, in order to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance." Then the Redeemer said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I impair my own inheritance. Take my right of redemption yourself, for I cannot redeem it." Now this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging. To confirm a transaction, the one drew off his sandal and gave it to the other. And this was the manner of attesting in Israel. So when the Redeemer said to Boaz, "Buy it for yourself," he drew off his sandal. Then Boaz said to the elders and all the people, "You are witnesses this day that I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion and to Mahlon. Also Ruth the Moabite, the widow of Mahlon, I have bought to be my wife, to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brothers and from the gate of his native place. You are witnesses this day." Then all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your house like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. May you act worthily in Ephrathah and be renowned in Bethlehem. And may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring that the Lord will give you by this young woman." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And he went into her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a redeemer. And may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is more to you than 7 sons, has given birth to him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Perez. Perez fathered Hezron. Hezron fathered Ram. Ram fathered Abinadab. Abinadab fathered Nahshon. Nahshon fathered Salmon. Salmon fathered Boaz. Boaz fathered Obed. Obed fathered Jesse. And Jesse fathered David. Did you know that Jews and Protestants have the same Hebrew books in their Bibles? Same Old Testament books. Though Jews, of course, don't call it Old Testament, they call it Tanakh. But the Catholics have the same books and a few more, and if you really want to know why, I'll tell you later. But Jews and Protestants don't put the books into the same order. We all begin the same: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. But after that, it begins to diverge. In the Jewish order, Ruth comes in the last of the 3 big sections. Okay, when they say Tanakh, T is for Torah, N is for Nevi'im, prophets, and the K is for the writings. So Ruth is in the writings. It's in the last third. So in the writings, you have Psalms, and then you have Proverbs. And Proverbs ends with chapter 31. An excellent wife who can find? And it goes on from there to describe this excellent wife, this Eshet Hayil. And then after Proverbs, you get to Ruth. In chapter 3 of which, Ruth is called an Eshet Hayil, a woman of valor, a worthy woman. Who can find, but you're told that Boaz found such a woman. And so what do you do if you find such a woman? Well, the next book is Song of Solomon. So you love her. So the Jewish order is great. Okay? Know what kind of woman to be. Know what kind of woman to look for. Proverbs. Seek and you will find Ruth. And then love her, Song of Songs. The Christian order is great too. Judges ends. There was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And the two preceding stories make clear just what a bad thing that was. And then Ruth comes. And Ruth begins in the time of the judges. So you understand, all right, we're talking about something that happened at the same time. But then Ruth ends with David. So judges, there was no king in Israel, and it was a mess. But in the time of the judges, you had this wonderful event that leads to David. And then the next book of Samuel, where you introduce to David and discover how he became king. In other words, here the story is, or the point is, Israel's a mess. How will God rescue his people? Well, through a king. And this is where he came from. He came from this unusual but devout couple. He came from a special story of rescue. And the point is that the Lord is always at work, even in an anarchic and awful time like the judges. God is still active in times of tragedy and in kindness, in times when the faithful follow God's word. It's not our kindness or our law keeping that gives life, though. It is the Lord who gives life. So as we look here at chapter 4, notice first how the Redeemer Boaz respected the law. That's striking to me. I think Boaz could have just taken Ruth and married her. He's obviously a big man in the village, and she's an outsider, and it's what she wants. By the way, if it bothered you, he bought Ruth. Well, this was Ruth's idea, so that's all fine. All right? She had wanted, she said, she basically proposed to him. All right, he's working it out according to what the customs were. So who would have argued if Boaz and Ruth had just announced that they were married? You know, you get the sense that he wanted to marry Ruth. He put this at risk going to law. He wasn't first in line. The other guy was first in line. So why risk it? Well, he was an upstanding and God-fearing man. He knew God had given that law that related them. And so he wasn't going to blow off that law, which was the only reason that they were there in the first place. And he's also a public-spirited member of the community. He was not going to undercut the community ties by just doing whatever he wanted. So he went to the gate early. And he found that closer relative. That's the Redeemer of whom Boaz has spoken. That's somebody closer related who has first rights to all this. Finds that man and says, "Sit down, cousin. We have business to do." And he finds 10 men to be witnesses. Say, I need you to sit down here. You have to witness to the transaction. That's how they would notarize it back then. Right, you didn't go to take it to the notary. You take it, you got 10 men to watch. Okay, they are the notary. They're the jury. They judge and witness what happens. And then he takes the risk. He says, "Naomi is selling the land that belonged to Elimelech, her dead husband. You're first in line, I'm second." And that's a surprise. We've heard nothing about land. We've heard nothing about Naomi talking to Boaz. So what is this? And you have to assume it made sense to the original readers. Whether what's going on here is strictly legal, or if there's a mixture of what's legal and what's moral. We're talking about rights or duties. You just have to assume Boaz knew the law and the relationships. And if Ruth, at Naomi's instigation, is going to propose marriage, he knows all this is what is part of the whole picture. He says, "You have first dibs. Do you want the field?" He said, "Yes, I'll buy the field." And Boaz might have been worried. What we see next is the Redeemer respected the law, and the Lord brought Boaz and Ruth together. Boaz had something else to say. He said, "When you redeem Elimelech's field, you need to redeem his family. You're not just adding that field to your plot. You're taking on the job of trying to revive the family line so that they can get the field back in the future. You should marry Ruth, have a child with her, and then Elimelech's line gets resurrected from the dead, and eventually that field will then revert to them." Now this apparently changed the man's calculations. After all, buying a field, that's going to, that's going to cost him money. But if he gets the crops from it forever, I mean, in this kind of economy, land is wealth. So sure, I'll buy a field. But if I have a child with Ruth, and that field then goes to that child as Elimelech's grandson, now I'm only going to get crops off of that field for a limited number of years, and now my upfront investment I might not make back. And maybe he's thinking, I have to give some of my inheritance to that child as well. I mean, who knows how this all would work under their law. But anyway, his second thought: I can't do this, you do it. And he takes off his sandal and he gives it to Boaz. See, that's how they did it. Boaz went right into his announcement. "I am buying the field and I am marrying Ruth." And he didn't shrink from who Ruth was. She is, the last time, in Boaz's mouth, Ruth the Moabite. He puts it right out there. Which perhaps implies that we should not shrink from naming and overcoming our own boundaries. Some people keep the walls up. Others profess not to even know that there might be an issue. "I don't see color." In which case, you have eye problems. Boaz spells it out. "I am marrying Ruth, the Moabite. If you have a problem, speak now." And there's no problem because her character was known. Her loyalty to Naomi was obvious. Her declared loyalty to God may have been known. And so the witnesses respond. And you might notice that the circle seems to have widened. At first you're told there are 12 men sitting together, 2 doing business, 10 there to witness. But then it says, then all the people were at the gate. Where did they all come from? Well, this is more interesting business than they normally had. And news fat travels fast. So this was a good one. Come over here. You've got to watch this one. Now, that's not just the 12 men. It's whoever was close enough to scurry over there. They all say, "We are witnesses. And we give our blessing, and we're not talking about the land now. Ruth is in focus. May she be like Rachel and Leah, who built up Israel. That is, by having lots of kids. May you act worthily." There's that Hayil word again. "May you be renowned." And he is. "May your house be like Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah." That's a good biblical trivia one. Did you get the point of that one? Yeah, what's that one? Well, Tamar was a foreigner like Ruth. Tamar's husband died like Ruth's husband died. Died before she had any children. As Ruth's husband died before she had any children. And in both cases, they ended up in unusual circumstances, having a child with an older Israelite. There are some connections to Ruth. There's also differences. Ruth comes off better with the comparison. But they don't shrink from the comparison. This is where we came from. We're all from this line of Judah. May others come from you. And Boaz shows us to respect law. We shouldn't just do things because we can get away with it. Respect for law is respect for God who gave law. Here Boaz shows respect for law is respect for that closer relative, his fellow man. Respect for law is respect for the village, These are public facts. Who owns that land? Let us all know and agree on it. Who is caring for the widow Naomi? Let us know what is being done. Who was married? And you notice that the marriage is publicly witnessed. That is indeed how we ought to behave. Because marriage is not just about two people who love each other. There are lots of relationships in which there are two people who love each other. That doesn't make them marriages. Marriage is about two people who love each other, yes. It's also about children and inheritance and property. We flipped in Western law from marriage as being about sort of business and property, which was wrong, to now just being about the avowed affection between two people, which is one-sided in the other way. It's both. There's private affection, one hopes, and there's public facts that affect others, which is why both church and state should recognize marriage. And neither ought to think they can change its definition. It's one man and one woman whose union should be publicly witnessed and ratified. As our statement says, before God and these witnesses. So the Redeemer respected law, and the Lord brought them together, and then the Lord gave life. She bore a son. There was no guarantee of that. There never is. You can make it your goal to be married and have kids, but neither thing is fully under your control. And especially not in this case. Ruth had already been married and not had kids. Why not? What's the problem with her? Her first husband was younger than Boaz was. So there was no guarantee. But the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. This was a blessing to Boaz and to Ruth, but now the story shifts away from Boaz and Ruth. Did you catch that? The story began with Naomi. Now remember chapter 1, how much it's about the tragic life of Naomi. And so we end back on Naomi, on the older widow, not the younger widow. Then in chapter 1, she had spoken bitterly to the women. The Lord has brought me back empty. Now the women speak joyously to her. Blessed be the Lord who's given life. Then she had ignored Ruth. Brought me back empty, ignores Ruth. Now the women praise Ruth. She loves you and is better to you than seven sons, which you can tell is a biblical idiom for like the best thing imaginable. Ruth is better than that. And so there's this praise from Ruth, praise for Ruth, but there's a focus on Naomi, and they put the child in her lap, and she cared for him. And in some way he counted to be hers as well as counting to be Ruth's. He was security for their futures. And they were not empty. And so the matter came to a happy conclusion. But there's a question. Who's the Redeemer? You say, well, Boaz is the Redeemer. Boaz redeems it. That's true. But notice what it says here about verse 14. Blessed be the Lord who has not left you without a Redeemer. May his name be renowned. He shall nourish your old age, for your daughter-in-law has given birth to him. Who's the Redeemer now? The little baby Obed is the Redeemer. He's the Social Security plan. That's how it works. So Boaz is the Redeemer, but in the first place, actually, the closer relative who is the Redeemer. Then it's Boaz, but then it's Obed, and then the story ends with the name of David. He's going to be Israel's rescuer. And so the Redeemer shifts. The Redeemer is a bit of a moving target. That makes sense, because we all die, right? Well, they had Redeemers. Who was ours? Who is a restorer of our life? Who brings in the outsider and raises up the despairing? A millennium after David, another child was born in Bethlehem. Again, under circumstances that a scoffer would find fault with. And when he grew up, he did not set aside the law, though he might have thought that he might not have needed to keep it. No, Jesus kept all of God's law. He took on its risks. He paid its penalty. And he did it to give us a future heavenly inheritance. And so therefore, he gives hope to the despairing, spiritual food to the hungry, and breaks down walls that separate Jew and Gentile, black and white, native-born and foreigner. And having been raised from the dead, he ever lives to redeem us. We don't have to shift our focus on to the next Redeemer and the next. God is not only a wonderful God who provides redemption for us through a Redeemer. He's also a wonderful teacher. He gave us these earlier temporary Redeemers to see, so that we might understand Jesus better. He even made those earlier Redeemers the ancestors of our Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this book of Ruth. We thank you for the worthy woman that she was, and for how you have drawn this portrait of her. We thank you for Naomi, how your word declares her tragedy and her despair, and then shows how you reversed it. And we thank you for the portrait that we have here of Boaz and how you led him to do more than he had to do so that he would be the one who came to the rescue of Naomi and Ruth. Lord, help us to have generous and loyal spirits. Help us, indeed, to act worthily. But most of all, we praise you and thank you that you've given us a Redeemer, that you've given us one who comes to restore life to us. And so we pray in his name, the name of Jesus Christ.